Blog Talk Radio.
Tonight we'll be reading the book of Romans. We're going to start the book of Romans. The just shall live by faith. Apostle Paul explaining to us by the Holy Spirit, laying it out, exactly the plan of God for the just to live by faith. And this is one of the greatest epistles of the New Testament. Of course, you're going to hear me say that about all of them. They all have their own thing and their own place in the kingdom of God and what they established for you and I to have, to enjoy, and to believe. And so welcome, welcome, welcome. We're glad to have you with us. Now, all of you that's joined us on Zoom, we're glad to have you here. If you want to, grab this link from Blog Talk Radio and YouTube and send it to your family. Everybody pause for a minute here. I have a dear old cat that is my buddy, but if I don't close that door, he'll make a lot of noise. God bless my Roman as I read the book of Romans. Hold your Bible up. Let's make our confession. Say this with me. This is my Bible. I believe what God's word says. I am what Jesus says I am.
I am what Jesus says I am.
I go do what God's word tells me to do.
I go do what God's word tells me to do.
Today I will read this word.
Today I will read this word.
It will go down in my life.
It will go down in my life.
And make a world of difference.
And make a world of difference.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen.
Amen.
And amen. Well, here we go. Romans chapter 1. Now, when you get to the book of Romans, you know, Paul said, I must go to Rome. And God showed him he's going to go to Rome. And then he got on the boat and he went to Rome. All right. And the overall theme of Romans is the just shall live by faith. It was written near the end of his third missionary journey. And there's so many valuable lessons in the book of Romans that we're going to have to just read the word, because that's what this is about. If you actually took time to preach the book of Romans, that would take you 3 hours a day for a whole semester to teach this book. There's so much here that's so powerful in our life. Thank God for the Apostle Paul's faithfulness and the grace of God working in his life. There we go, Romans 1:1. Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets. Remember, when you see those pronouns capitalized, that's talking about God or Jesus in the Holy Scripture. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh. Think about this is the season right now. Mary said to the angel, well, be it done unto me according to your holy word. Verse number 4, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. When you and I walk in righteousness and holiness, it is a great power and force in our life. Verse 5, through him we have received grace, apostleship, for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's pretty much how the Apostle Paul begins every one of his letters right there. Verse 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. You realize we're in 53 nations of the world? Wow. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing, I make mention of you always in my prayers, making request if by some means now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift so that you may be established. That is exactly what this program is all about every night, is that you may receive a spiritual gift from the Word of God so that you may be established in your life. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and of me. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I have often planned to come to you, but I was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. Now, you think about it, Paul's saying, I want to have fruit. And so, in order for me to have fruit, I'm going to have to impart a certain gift and see you established, and I'm going to come myself and make it happen, which is what we do here every night. We do our best to help you be able to go to the next level in God in your life. Verse 14, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. Verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it, now I circled in it and made it an arrow line up to the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's the modifier. For in it, in the gospel of Jesus Christ, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Well, what is faith? Faith is you believe he exists, and you know he rewards you when you diligently seek him. That's the rawest form of a definition of faith. You believe God exists, and you know when you seek him, he will diligently. When you diligently seek him, he will reward you. Verse 18. This is interesting. This is the wrath of God. You and I can see it being poured out on this generation that we live in right now. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. That's who the wrath goes to, not you and I. Because what may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has shown it to them. Those of you that have joined me in praying Job chapter 33, verses 14 through 18 for your families, God has already revealed himself to your family. Now, in a dream, in a vision of the night, Lord, seal their instruction inside of them, so that they'll be able to walk in the paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. You can see it in the stars, the moon, the sun, seasons. And God said, everyone will be without excuse. 21, because although they knew God, they did not glorify him as God, nor were they thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man and birds and four-footed animals and creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness and the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves. And they exchanged, look at this, they exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. 26. For this reason, God gave them up to their vile passions. Even their woman exchanged their natural use for what is against nature. Likewise, also the men, leaving their natural use of the woman, burned in their lust for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful, and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, and remember that's what he said up here, these are the verse number 18. The wrath of God is revealed against all ungodliness and unrighteousness who suppress the truth, because what may be known of God is manifest to them, and God has shown it to them. We go right back down here and said they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. Doesn't it make you wonder? I know I do. Why would somebody not want God in their knowledge? I don't get it. God's the answer to everything. God gave them over to a debased mind to do those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness. They are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who practice them. Whatever you do, don't approve of those who do wrong and do it boldly and confidently. I mean, that's what this verse said. Who knowing the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same, but also approve of those who do those wicked deeds. Don't be on that side of this world. I know Christians be like, oh, but Pastor, they didn't really mean it. No, they meant it. They meant it very specifically. And they think you and I are crazy for following after God. We're not crazy. We're sons and daughters of Almighty God. He lives inside me. We're about ready to see it. Verse number two. Chapter two, God's righteous judgment. Aren't you Aren't you glad? I'm glad that his judgment will not be poured out on me. I have chosen to walk with him, and every day he's leading me into his paths of righteousness. Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, you're inexcusable, old man, whoever you are who judge. And whatever you judge another, you condemn yourself. For you who judge, practice the same things. But we know the judgment of God is according to truth against those who practice such things. Do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? No. Do you despise the riches of his goodness, forbearance, long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? There's a lot of words of judgment we've already read right here in these verses so far today, but it's the goodness of God that leads most people to repentance. You know, you have a few people like Brother Hagin and Dr. Summerall that they get a picture of hell, and that scared hell right out of them. But most people, it's the goodness of God that leads them to repentance. They come to the understanding that God has come to live on the inside of you and lead you from the inside out. My, what an amazing thing. Verse number 5. But in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourselves wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God. Man, you don't want to be in that. You just don't want to be in. Verse 6, who will render to each one according to his deeds, eternal life to those who by patient continuance, I like that, in doing good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man who does evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For with God, there is no partiality. Thank you, Father, for that great revelation. 12. For as many as have sinned without the law will also perish without the law. And as many as have sinned in the law will be judged by the law. For not the hearers of the law are just in the sight of God, but the doers of the law will be justified. And of course, that matches James chapter 1, verse 22. It says, don't just be a hearer of the word, but be a doer. For when the Gentiles who do not have the law by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves, who show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and between themselves, their thoughts accusing or else excusing them, in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Now, you might say, Pastor, what in the world, what was he trying to say there? Well, all he's saying is that when those who don't have the law do the law, it's a law to themselves. And what they've done is they somewhere in the realm of the spirit have hooked up to God. We were studying that this morning in our morning prayer time about Job. Job had an amazing grasp of God, who God was. He didn't have a Bible. He didn't have the Ten Commandments. He didn't have all the instructions about offerings. But Job knew God. Job knew God. And therefore, God honored Job's faith all the way through it. And remember, for those of you that, you know, Job's a big deal to you, Job only suffered for about 20 days, 21 days. And then he lived the rest of his life in the blessing of God. It wasn't like he suffered that for his whole life. Verse 17, I can tell. Say that. Somebody's like, are you serious? Go study it. I'm in verse 17, Romans 2, 17. Indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law and make your boast in God and know his will and approve the things that are excellent, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to those blind, a light to those who are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, having the form of knowledge and truth in the law. You therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that a man should not steal, do you steal? You who say do not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who make your boast in the law, do you dishonor God through the breaking of the law? Verse 24, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, as it is written. Verse 25, for circumcision is indeed profitable if you keep the law. There were 613 of them. That's a lot to keep. But if you're a breaker of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. Therefore, if an uncircumcised man keeps the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? And remember, we're going to read the verse here pretty soon that says circumcision to cut the skin has no value in the new covenant. I mean, it's a wise act for cleanliness. But God circumcises the heart. Let's keep reading. And will not the physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, judge you, even when your written code and circumcision are a transgressor of the law? For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew who is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, not in the letter, whose praise is not from men, but from God. Now let's just put a little understanding on it. Because they lived with the law for 2,500 years from Moses, naturally, there's so many of them that's still stuck in the law. And Paul's saying to them, that law is no longer of validity, and it's no longer going to have the power, and all it's going to be is a bunch of laws and rules to it. And a Gentile who comes to God can live above that law in the law of grace. And we're going to see that right now in Romans chapter 3. What advantage then has the Jew, or what is the profit of circumcision? Much in every way, chiefly because to them were committed the oracles of God. For what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? Certainly not. Indeed, let God be true and every man a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified in your words and may overcome when you are judged. If our righteousness demonstrates the righteousness of God, What shall we say? Is God unjust who inflicts wrath? I speak as a man. Certainly not. For then, how will God judge the world? For if the truth of God has increased through my lie to his glory, why am I also still judged as a sinner? And why not say, let us do evil that good may come? As we are slanderously reported, as some affirm that we say their condemnation is just. So there was people writing letters about Paul. You ever seen anybody write a letter about a modern day preacher? If you know, if you are known on TV at all, you've had some serious letters written about you. And you've had people call you some serious names. I've even had people call me some pretty serious names. And say bad things about me. Whatever. I always just say, hide in the bushes and watch. You don't have to come with me, but I will go by it and prove to you that we are a people of God right here, and that we walk with him, and that we live out this book, and that we grow and develop in the things of God. In Jesus' mighty name. Here we go. All have sinned. Now, if tonight so far you're like, man, Pastor, I have something on the inside that ain't right, just stick with me. Because in Romans chapter 3, Paul takes it all the way to the end and gives us great victory. This next, what have we got? The next 20 verses. What then? Are we better than they? Not at all. For we have previously charged both Jews and Greeks that they're all under sin. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. They have all turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is no one who does good, no, not no one. Those verses are found in Psalm 14. Their throat is an open tomb. With their tongues, they have practiced deceit. That's Psalm 5:9. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. And that's, there's some messed up folks right there. 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. That's what Paul said in Galatians. That's why the whole law came, is to show us the sin and to convince us of our absolute need of Jesus' blood and righteousness. The law showed you how bad you was, but it could not do anything for you. All it could do is show you how bad you was, and then if you used the sacrifices right, it made you one with God, atonement. It was atonement for you. Until you sinned. And then you needed to bring a sin sacrifice every, you know, 1 week or whatever it was. And you were guilty under sin until the next day of atonement, when you could, by the blood sacrifice, be made one with God again, at one with atonement, at one with God, so that you would be right with him. They had a rough life. They really did. I'm in Romans 3:21. Now, let's go back up to 19. Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, no flesh will be justified. It's not about how much you can abstain from. No, it's about your relationship with the Father. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. 21. But now the righteousness of God, apart from the law, is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. For many years, the church has been stuck on verse 23. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. That's not where God wants you to stop. By grace are you saved through faith, not of your own work. It is of grace, so that no man can boast. Receive the free gift of righteousness from Jesus, and literally, Romans 5 and Revelation 1 and Revelation 5, all three of those say you will reign in life with Jesus Christ. Woo! To verse 26, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier. Remember that word? Just as if I never sinned. Of the one who has faith in Jesus. 27. Where is boasting then? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No. Boasting is excluded by the law of faith. Why? I believe in God and it's counted to me for righteousness. Well, what can I do? What can you do? It doesn't matter how good you act. It'll never be good enough to reach God and reach heaven. You got to have Jesus' blood and Jesus' righteousness and the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. 28. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith apart from the deeds of the law. Or is he God of the Jews only? Is he not also the God of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Since there is one God who will justify the circumcised by faith and the uncircumcised through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? Certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law by faith. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But guess what? It doesn't matter what your sin is. Jesus' righteousness has covered it and blessed it it didn't bless your sin, it blessed you so that you could be set free. Think about that. We're going to read it in the next session. It's called the free gift of righteousness. Rahab the harlot received it. She looked at them men and said, you owe me. Well, I could turn you over right now, but I don't want to turn you over. I want to become like you because everyone in this city is afraid of you. And they said, well, hang this scarlet thread out your window, representative of the blood of Jesus. And when we return to destroy the city, we'll take you out. What was that? That was faith. She received the red strand, put it in her window, and then gathered all of her family she could get in her house to her so that they would be saved. Just like she was saved. 3:24. Being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, just as if you never sinned. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, that's all of our reading for today. This is the point where we would say, circle the wagons. Now think about this. Here's Paul, who at one point in his life kept all 613 of those laws. All of them. Didn't violate a one of them. That's amazing, folks. That's a seriously religious person. And yet he's killing people in the name of God. That ain't God. Unless you got an assignment like Samuel gave to Saul, you kill all those Amalekites. But see, they didn't have the ability to cast out the demon. Jesus' blood hadn't been shed. And so they had to take out the whole people. Saul didn't do it. He disobeyed. Well, Samuel says that rebellion is witchcraft. You don't want witchcraft functioning in your life. So don't be a rebel. And don't be rebellious. No matter how much people want to tell you that that's what you and I are as Americans. Well, we did not want to do what the crown was doing in England. But we weren't rebelling against God. We were just great patriots saying, this nation will be known for this. And we're known for the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The just shall live by faith. Now, we want to pray the prayer of salvation with you so that we give everybody that's with us the opportunity to pray this prayer and be right with God. If you pray this prayer with us that we're getting ready to pray right now, in the matter of 2 minutes, you will be right with God. Doesn't matter where you are. Doesn't matter what your background is. If you truly want God in your life, now is your opportunity. Pray the prayer now. Here we go. All y'all on Zoom, join with me as we pray the prayer of salvation. You'll have to click your own mic, but that's just how this works in this program. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you, you will give me everlasting life.
When I believe in you, you give me everlasting life.
Here's your point. Here's your place. Make a bold statement. So be bold. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
And you rose again on the third day just for me.
Put your arms out and say, I receive you into my life, Jesus.
I receive you into my life, Jesus.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your mercy.
All of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your righteousness.
Filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life
with all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness of God.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word of God.
Pray in my heavenly language.
pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life as a believer every day.
And live a successful life
as a believer every day.
Pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. Welcome to the kingdom of God. Now, these first three chapters, you can look at them a little bit and say, whew, that seemed a little deep, Pastor. Well, it's really not that deep, but if it's the first time you read it, it might seem deep. And I want to encourage you. Welcome to the kingdom. We're glad you're here. Learn to read the Bible out loud like I'm doing right now. There's lots of times I'm reading the Bible and I'm like, man, I just read that wrong. That didn't come out right. So I go back and read it again. Then I got to pause and say, wait a minute, put the punctuation in where it is. And all of a sudden, as I'm speaking it out loud, my eyes are seeing it. My ears are hearing it. My mouth is speaking it. My whole being has got involved in it. And now it begins to make more sense to you. Everybody can do that. Everybody should do that because it helps you in the meditation process. Okay. We're glad you're here. What's just happened is you used your faith and followed our lead because we followed the lead of the men and women of God before us. And you are now right with God, walking with God, and God Almighty came and lived on the inside of you right here. He made this book. That's why on the inside you feel pure and holy and righteous, and you got, it's like something's going on inside of me. Yeah. Yeah, God Almighty is filling your very being right now. Top of your head, down to the soles of your feet. That's why I say, even if you're the skin on the bottom of the heel of Jesus, you're some of the most important skin there is, because that's what contacted the enemy's head first, was his heel. Don't think you're an important person in the kingdom of God. You might say, Pastor, I don't even know how to walk with God. And then those set of verses you just read didn't help me too much. No, I encourage you to get your Bible out, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. Matter of fact, if you want a good Bible, get this one, Thompson Chain Reference Bible. I use the New King James Version. Let me see if I can get this over here where you can see it. I use the New King James Version. It costs you some money. It costs you about $80. Get the leather cover. It's worth every penny. You could give up that much Dr. Pepper and Snicker bar for a year, and it'd be of that great value to you because you need this word. Read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts. That's Jesus' life and teaching, and then the beginning of the church of Jesus Christ. And then send me an email. My email address is right down there in the comments of the program, hgpreacherman@gmail.com. And tell me your story. Ask me a question. It don't matter. There's probably not too many of you that's going to ask me a question that I've not already heard. But it's not about that. It's about the more you ask those questions, the more we help other people learn to walk with God. And when we give you the answer, they get the answer too. It's a good thing. In Jesus' mighty name. Remember this. You wake up in the morning, before you get out of bed, look up to heaven and say, Father, I know you live in me. I choose this is going to be the greatest day of my life. And I'll walk with you all day. Thank you for the promise that you are walking with me in here in Jesus' mighty name. It's not hard to bear fruit, folks, when God Almighty lives on the inside. And now that you've been born again, that is exactly what just happened. You've been made an heir of God, a joint heir with Jesus. And you get to reign in life with him. Amazing. In Jesus' mighty name. Well, as most of you know, I can stay on here and preach a long time out of those three chapters, but can't do it. This is Read the Word. So until we see you again, all on Zoom ready, click off your mics. Till we see you again, I'm waiting. Got two of you. Till we see you again, remember this. We love you.
We love you.
And God loves
you.
And Jesus is Lord.
Hallelujah.
We'll see you soon. Right here on Read the Word. All of you on Blog Talk Radio, we bless you. Remember this. I want to have your native language. I want to translate this into your native language. I don't speak your native language. I have a hard enough time speaking English. But God has shown me how we can help you and others around you to take this same gospel that we're reading and put it in your native language very inexpensively and have the same process that you're listening to right now on Blog Talk Radio. Every one of the 53 nations on Blog Talk Radio, we bless you in Jesus' mighty name. And until we see you again, right here, we declare the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen and amen and amen.